Hello and welcome back to the final episode of the Partnership Podcast. It's your host Monica Lee and I'm wishing you all a happy new year. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and that you're keeping safe and well in these unprecedented times. So 2021 has really kicked off with us being in another national lockdown. But as we've done throughout 2020, we'll find ways to overcome, conquer and adapt till it's safe to do otherwise. I just can't believe that this is actually the final episode. But not to worry, as one door closes, we all know there's another one that will open very, very soon. Series 1 is only the beginning. And with all the support and amazing feedback, we are ready to deliver more content. So just watch the space. Over the course of this podcast series, we shared with you all the plans we have to transform our business and secure the future of the partnership. But to achieve what we want to, we must be lean, simple and fast, creating more pace and freedom for partners and critically cash for growth. To make our plan a success, we have to simplify how we work and reduce costs, particularly at our head office. So far, the partnership have been incredible with adapting and embracing change. It's been rapid. But as 2020 has shown us, if we work together and remember the end goal, we will make it work. This is deeply regrettable, but we must take tough decisions to secure the future of the partnership. To share more about how we're going to transform our head offices, in this episode, we're talking to Nikki Humphrey, Executive Director of People, and Claire Young, Head of Operating Model and Process Improvement. The aim of this podcast isn't to take you through all the changes we're making in detail or what it will mean for individual roles or partners. Nikki and Claire will talk about why we need to change and how the changes will improve how we work.
Yeah, so my name is Bethany Nichols and today I'm having a chat with Nikki Humphrey and Claire Young. Just kind of start off with, if you both like to introduce yourselves, kind of tell us a little bit about your roles within the partnership and also your time at the partnership, you know, where have you come from within the partnership?
Hi Beth, it's Nikki Humphrey and hello everybody. So I recently joined the partnership on the beginning of October, so I'm in my fourth month and I'm the exec director for people and I'm also the executive sponsor for the head office transformation program. And prior to joining the partnership, I had 4 years with Virgin Atlantic. And then before that, I was at Lloyds Banking Group doing a number of different HR roles there.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, everyone else. My name is Claire Young, and I lead the operating model and process improvement teams in the partnership. Unlike Nikki, I've actually unbelievably just been entered my 18th year at the partnership. I've worked in a number of different areas. I started off in buying for 6 years and then worked in supply chain, central retail, and I spent the last 5 years working in operating model design.
Amazing, cool. So now we know a little bit about yourselves and anyone outside of the partnership or in branches, you know, now they know who you are and who we're speaking to. We're going to jump straight in. So lean, simple and fast is a key enabler in us being able to progress the rest of the partnership plan. A significant part of the £300 million savings we need to make will come from the transformation of our head offices. But the changes to head office are about much more than just cost saving. Why do we need to transform how we work?
Shall I step in and make a start? And then I'm sure Claire will add her views as well. So I think, look, we're at a really significant point. We shared our partnership plan back in October, which really shared our ambitions for the next 5 years and recognising that we're operating in a pretty challenging environment. And that was even before COVID started. And we need to make sure that we remain competitive. We keep delivering and serving our customers in the way that we know they love, whilst also maintaining the longer term sustainable future for the partnership. And they're really important points to go and focus on. And so the partnership plan, I would describe, splits into two parts. It splits into the next couple of years, whereby we need to do two things. We need to go and make sure that we're doing everything to go and fix some of our customer pain points, really thinking about how we fulfill our ambitions around retail that customers love, and start to invest and keep growing and building our customer service that we give to so many of them. And that balanced with us taking costs out and restructuring so that we can then afford to go and grow and go and invest in the next 3 years of our plan, and which our next 3 years of our plan is making sure that we not only maintain and protect, you know, our retail offering that we have, but we also grow in other markets, so that we're not just exposed just on the retail side of things. And for us to be able to go and invest and grow in some of those other markets, for example, such as financial services and home improvements, we need to make sure that we can afford that investment. And that's why we need to go and take that £300 million out. And a big part of the head office transformation is really anchoring around how do we be leaner, more simple and faster around how we go and operate. So it's not purely just a cost reduction exercise. That clearly is hugely influential and hugely important for our long term future. But it's also looking at our ways of working, how we make decisions, you know, how do we speed up how we introduce things and do things for our customers. And I think the last year, with our response to all of COVID and how the business has been able to be so fleet of foot with its decisions and still continue to support our customers day in and day out, really demonstrates that we're able to do that. But I wonder, Claire, whether you bring to life, because you've been in the partnership a lot longer than me, so you definitely know kind of what's gone before and what some of our ambitions are going forward.
Yeah, thank you, Nikki. And you're spot on, I think, in what you're saying in terms of the real close connection between the partnership plan and head office transformation. And that connection is not just about the cost saving. That is a big part of it. But the reason why we need to transform our head office is not just to release cost for us to be able to reinvest back in new things, but because we need to work in a very different way to deliver the partnership plan. We need to be much more collaborative. We need to be much speedier in our decision making, and we need to be able to kind of remove some of that treacle that I know for partners that have been in the partnership for a long time will definitely feel, in terms of the length of time it takes to get things done, our ability to prioritize, to focus on the things that really matter, and to really work across boundaries and collaboratively across the end to end to really make things happen. And you're not going to deliver that simply by restructuring. So head office transformation is looking at all of those components to say, how do we actually set ourselves up for success to deliver the partnership plan and also make our head office smaller? And I think lean, simple, fast is a really good way of describing it. So we will be a leaner head office. There's no doubt about that. But we're hopefully going to be a far more simple head office to navigate, and a far faster head office in terms of our ability to deliver what we need to for the partnership plan, but also for business as usual. It's not just for change, it's for BAU as well. And we really hope that the partners will really feel that difference as we step through the coming years.
And sorry, Claire, can you just explain what BAU means for those?
Oh, of course, sorry. Yes, so business as usual. So we tend to think of the work we do in two things. You've kind of got change activity, that's the kind of strategic changes we're making to deliver the partnership plan, but there's also the activity that we do day in, day out to trade both of our brands.
Amazing. So, I mean, this leads on to my next question, which is, you know, head office partners have been waiting to learn about any potential changes and how they might affect them for some time since Future Partnership in October 2019. I mean, change can be difficult at the best of times, but in the midst of a global pandemic and recession, what further thoughts have you given for partners who, you know, are going to be going through this change and potentially going through consultation?
Yeah, let me make a start. So look, this has been at the forefront of our minds for quite a while. We clearly wanted, when Future Partnership first started at the end of 19, there was full expectations we'd be able to go and complete that during 2020, and no one could have predicted the huge disruption that we then experienced during 2020, and we recognised that uncertainty that went and created. So let me pick up a couple of things that I think are important to share. the balance between that uncertainty at work and then also the experiences that not just our head office partners, but actually all partners have experienced with the difficulties of managing home life during the various lockdowns and COVID has meant that we've really taken a lot of time to think about the well-being of our partners. And I'm hoping, if you haven't already, I would really encourage you to go and look on our partner intranet and go and look at the huge resources that we have to help people on lots of different fronts, whether it's with some of the mental well-being, whether it's financial well-being, lots of, you know, tools to go and help people if they're struggling in certain different parts of their life, because we do recognize that people are balancing a lot. So we have those resources for everyone to go and access, and they're very specifically for our head office partners. We do recognize that some have already started to experience the change, and then we've got a majority that will go through their own personal change. And so an awful lot of thought, in particular from my team, has gone into the planning and preparation of that experience that we take our partners through. So making sure they clearly understand why we're changing, they understand clearly what their personal impact, they understand the process that they'll go through, all the things that if you don't feel you have that insight or you feel you have no control over, really impacts how you feel you cope with the change. So a lot of thought's been given to the actual experience our partners will go through. And then the next part is recognising we will have a large number compared to some of the numbers we've seen in the past of partners that sadly will be leaving the partnership under redundancy. And so our care and investment around how do we help those partners in that transition of transitioning out. Many will be leaving, lots of friends and colleagues that they've worked with for many years. So how do we help them cope with that transition and help them think about new work that they would need to go and consider? So things such as we will be offering a retraining fund of £3,000 for people to go and take up other training to go and help them reskill in another area. We have an enhanced redundancy offering as part of the partnership, which is market leading. So, you know, financially, we give that support. We also offer outplacement is basically services that help people with writing their CVs, helping them with interview preparation. So really sort of practical skills and practical advice that can really give an individual leaving all the confidence and skills and experience to obviously go and seek employment or retraining elsewhere. So I think being relatively new into the partnership, it is amazing the amount of tools that have been developed and have been pulled together to really be very thoughtful of just that significant change that the partners are going through.
Thank you, Nikki. So kind of going off of what you've just said there about the partners who will, you know, will sadly be leaving us, I'm kind of interested to find out about how, you know, after the head office transformation has taken place, you know, what happens with the partners that have stayed within the partnership? So how will you ensure that those partners still have the opportunity to develop and kind of feel safe enough to develop their careers within the John Lewis partnership? What is there anything that you've thought about for that future plan that you can offer those partners?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting when you go through really significant change, which we recognise for the partnership, this head office transformation is the biggest change I think we've ever done for quite a while, if at all. And often we focus on the bit that we're reducing and that, you know, the partners that are going. And what we do need to go and remind ourselves that actually, once we get through the other side, we will have a business that needs to be thriving with about 3,500 of our partners working in our head office functions. We're going to have overall, we have about 80,000 people that work across the partnership. So when you start to describe those numbers, saying that there are limited career opportunities is just not the case, because what's beautiful about the partnership is its size, its scale, and the diversity of roles that we have. And so I I would strongly encourage our partners to not think that career opportunities are reducing. Actually, there will continue to be lots of different areas and opportunities for partners to go and move into. And in fact, as part of some of our partnership plan, we are starting to develop out certain capabilities, so around digital, around data and insights. So, we are being very thoughtful about how do we go and also think about how we can support people's reskilling and upskilling in other capabilities or in other areas that might not have experience with. So I'm conscious we've previously thought about people going and how we help their retraining. But what's really important is that we continue to think about that investment with those people staying. So there's a lot of work in plan to go and think about how do we go and think about that. So as we go to evolve as a business and we change teams and skills, that we're also helping our partners go and upskill as well. And then just to remind everyone, because we just have again a plethora of tools on the partner development website, there are again so many courses and tools to go and really help people develop in both their current roles and help them think about what future roles could be. So there is a lot out there. And I don't know whether Claire, just again pulling on your experience in the partnership already, whether it's maybe worth sharing some of your experiences of how, because you named a number of the different roles you've done in your career about how you've made some of that happen.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. I think it's really interesting as we're going through the design work for head office transformation, is actually thinking about partner development, partner career progression, skills development is really a big part of how we've been thinking about the design and ensuring that partners really understand the teams that they sit in, what capabilities they bring, what skills are required for the future, and equipping partners to be able to develop those skills will be a really critical part of embedding the new structures. I think Nikki's right, though. We have a fantastic opportunity in an organisation of our size to really develop your career, and also to develop your career both vertically and horizontally. And one of the things I'm personally quite passionate about is giving partners the opportunity to move into different parts of the organisation. I mean, my varied background will back that out in terms of the different teams I've worked in. And I think if partners are really clear on what their skills are, what their capabilities are, and what they bring to the organisation, being able to move around and experience different parts of the business, I found to be incredibly valuable from a personal perspective. But equally, I found it really valuable in terms of people I've recruited into my teams, and always look to bring in diversity of thought, diversity of background, and I feel that we deliver better outcomes that way. I think we've been very hierarchical in the past and thought about career progression being very much through the team you're in. I think in the future we'll be far more broad in how we think about it. And particularly, if I'd call out one thing that we've occupied a lot of conversations on, is around the ability for partners to move across the brands, and particularly in head office. We haven't done that as much as I think we can. And I think there's a real opportunity in terms of the ways we're setting ourselves up now, to be able to encourage career development across not just parts of the business within one area, but actually across the brands and across the exec areas that support the brands as well. So I sense huge opportunity for partners that are staying. And that's one of the things we need to focus on really hard as we embed and set up the new structures effectively.
So within those opportunities, would you ever consider, I guess this is a question for Nikki, kind of graduate schemes and more apprenticeships? And, because it is important that as a business going forward, we need to ensure kind of a fresh turnover of talent, because, we've got other competitors who offer these schemes and offer more apprenticeships and graduate schemes. I mean, I want to hear your views on it.
Yeah, no, great. And so, what was it, 3 years ago we started our apprenticeship schemes, and it's maybe a secret that's not shared. So currently we have over 2,000 of our partners that are on apprenticeship programs, and we run 27 different schemes across a number of different areas, such as hospitality, butchery, driving, vehicle maintenance, project management, HR, finance. I mean, a real sort of plethora of different topics. So we purposely took the decision 3 years ago to go and invest in apprenticeships, and we do a number of different levels as well. So for those that are close to it, from level two all the way up to level seven. So level two is about GCSE level, and then level seven is master's degree level. So there's a real breadth in it, and those programs take about 1 to 3 years to go and complete. So at the moment, our focus is on that. Now, whether in the future we go back and take a look at whether we seek to restart any graduate programs, I guess that's something to go and have a look at, Bethany. But at the moment, all of our energy is going into support, you know, the 2000 partners that are already on and studying as part of the apprenticeships, which has been really successful.
Brilliant, thank you. So moving on. So a change of this nature is much more about structural and organisational change. You know, during the pandemic, we've seen head office partners and other teams around the partnership working remotely. So how is this kind of being factored into the transformation?
Shall I take this one, Nikki? You're absolutely right, Bethy. Head office transformation is about far more than just restructuring the organisation. And if we want to transform our head office, we know actually that we're never going to achieve that simply by looking at structures alone. And actually, the comment around ways of working during the pandemic has been a really interesting one. So there's another project that we're looking at across the partnership head office called Transforming the Way We Work, which is actually looking at how can we take on board what we've learned through the pandemic, which is that we can actually all be very productive working not in an office. And indeed, for many partners, this way of working has actually been preferable to a long commute, sat on a train, then a tube, getting into Victoria, long drives to Bracknell. And there's real benefit from us thinking in a very different way about how we might want to work in the future. We actually announced just before Christmas that we are anticipating a more permanent move to what we're describing as a blended way of working, which is really about a combination of office-based work and working from home or working from any other location, and really understanding what is it that partners want from a head office or from a physical head office or from an office space. And it's far more, what we've learned is it's far more about collaboration, about coming together to deliver outcomes, and about working as a team than it is about partners wishing to come in and sit at a desk. We also know, though, for some partners, working from home is not a positive experience. So what we really want to make this is about far more about a choice for partners in conjunction with their people managers and their teams to really understand what is the optimum way of working going forwards. As part of that, we're looking at what does that mean from a personnel point of view? What technology do we need to support that? How do we need to change our office spaces to make them more effective for collaborative working? All of that will come. It's obviously been slower than potentially it would have been if we weren't finding ourselves in our third lockdown. But what we're really learning from the pandemic and from the kind of enforced home working is that we really can work in a very different way and still be very productive as an organisation. And I think it's right that we carry that forward into thinking about this new blended way of working.
Brilliant. So So the next question I've got here is, what can shop-based partners or supply chain partners or even our customers expect to see and experience as a result of the head office changes once they're complete?
Yeah, let me make a start and then I'm sure Claire will come in as well. So, I mean, the major part of the head office transformation will be to simplify, delayer, and make us more agile as a centre that is supporting our partners that are working directly with our customers and serving for our, and providing the great service for our customers. And I think even just, you know, removing, I've heard people say it's like working in treacle, which, you know, I'm new in, but I've heard that phrase, actually trying to make things easier. So I've equally spent time in the branches since I've joined, and I hear that loud and clear. You know, it feels like it's heavy lifting, receiving some of the communications they get from some of our teams, some of the instructions. You know, they feel like we sit far removed from actually some of the issues they're dealing with the customer. So I think removing those levels and those layers, I think will make a difference. There is a massive drive, and I speak on behalf of my team and people, but for all of my peer exec members, that are looking in their own teams to really get us more customer focused and really thinking, you know, what are we doing and how are we enabling our partners that are day in and day out delivering for our customers, enabling them to do that in an easier way, in a more efficient way, in a simpler way. So I think it's going to help. That simplification is going to help directly getting closer to both, like I say, our customers, but also our partners. But Claire, do you want to, is there any other points for you to pick up?
Yeah, I think just to build on what you were saying, Nikki, I think we really recognise that we need the voice of our customers and the voice of our frontline partners to be much louder in head office, and to feel that they are much more part of the decision making that we're doing. If I can pick some really good examples, within John Lewis, they're doing a lot more now around getting shop partners involved in some of the decision making around ranging that happen on a seasonal basis, to get much more feedback directly from frontline partners and from customers to help inform some of those decisions and to break down some of those barriers that may have existed in the past. We've also done a lot of work creating kind of a customer voice forum where we're really hearing customer feedback and taking that feedback on board and building it into our plans going forward. So it's really easy to talk about a customer-centric model, but that's genuinely what we've been trying to design through head office transformation, is to make that voice of customer and voice to frontline partner so much louder and really break down some of those barriers, because we will be able to deliver much better things for our customers if we're hearing more clearly what they're saying. And so it's a win-win situation.
Amazing. So we're talking, you know, as we're talking about kind of shop-based partners and, you know, our customers, I can imagine we're going to have some branch partners and potentially some customers listening to the podcast. Could you just give quite a concise explanation of what an operating model is, Claire? Just so, you know, our shop partners and customers and people outside the business understand what this is.
Yeah, of course, no problem. I like to think of an operating model in its simplest terms as simply a series of questions. It's what we do, where we do it, how we do it, where we do it, and what we do it with. And that's really about people, it's about process, and it's about supporting technology that we use to do our jobs. So we talk about operating model design and transforming our operating model. It's far more than just restructuring the business. It's actually about looking at all of those components of the operating model, what processes underpin the way in which we work, what our governance is, how our leadership operates, what culture we have as an organization, what systems and tools we use, how does data help us do our work better? It's all of those things working in harmony in a real kind of ecosystem that really enables us to be effective as an organization. So transforming our operating model is not simply changing our structures and shifting our capability. It's going to be about changing all of those components to enable us to be leaner, simpler, and faster, and critically, to be far more customer centric. So I like to think about head office transformation and the structural stuff that we're talking about right now as being the start of our transformation of head office. And we know that we need to work really hard on those other components. And actually, there's a lot of excitement in working on some of those other components as well, in terms of our culture, our processes, how we can be much more effective as an organization, reducing duplication, delivering stuff out to our customers faster, and delivering things out to our partners faster. And there's a real opportunity, once we've embedded these new structures, to really drive forward with some of those activities. And actually, there's the upside from looking at the operating model as a whole should be quite substantial.
Lovely. So that kind of moves on to this question of, one of the criticisms of future partnership was that we undertook structural changes without the clear business strategy or operating model. We now have a plan for the partnership, but can you tell me what progress we've made on an operating model?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Nikki, maybe on the reverse, you can jump in after I finished. It'd be quite good to get a perspective of someone coming in new. You're right, future partnership was tough. When we did that, we knowingly did it while we knew we hadn't got the new partnership strategy embedded. And for all the right reasons, we decided to proceed before we did the strategic work. We now have the partnership plan, and actually we've been able to use that in terms of the work we've been doing in head office transformation so far to validate and support and guide our design decisions to ensure that we are making the choices that are going to enable us to deliver our strategy most effectively. What we do need to do, though, is continue to work on those other elements of the operating model that I described before. So transforming the way we work, for example, is a big part of our future operating model, moving to that blended way of working. Now, that work started and it's ongoing. we'll be joining that with some work looking at our processes and how can we make them more efficient and more effective in the future. For our shop floor partners, this will be particularly relevant. I think they often are at the receiving end of our poor processes. They often end up in either a poor experience for our frontline partners or a poor experience for our customers. So we know there's a big opportunity in driving that process work forward. And that's another key element of Lean, Simple and Fast. We know that we want to work harder on setting objectives and sharing those objectives across teams in the partnership so that we can have collective and collaborative effort towards the same outcome. That work is starting to be shaped up now and it's likely to carry on into the next year. So we're making a lot of progress in terms of our how we take that forwards. I think it's fair to say that the structure part probably feels the keenest now as we're about to step into head office transformation. But we are looking at this at a far more holistic piece than just simply our structures. And we really recognise that changing our structures alone will not deliver us the outcomes that we need. So I feel really enthusiastic about what that could look like in the future and how we move those other components of the operating model forwards, notwithstanding what's going to prove a really difficult and challenging period as we actually make the structural changes as part of head office. Nikki, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I think you've covered it all. And as you've said, we are entering the toughest part, aren't we? Because it directly impacts our partners. But we also recognise for the full changes that you've talked about, this is just going to take time. And I think we have high expectations that everything will suddenly change within a matter of weeks. But actually, we're talking about really significant changes that will take, you know, weeks and months to work our way through because of the size and scale of it. So I guess we're all on the journey together.
Amazing. So just to finish off, Nikki, last question, where can partners go to find out more information about head office transformation?
Yep, so very simply, so all of our partners can access anything they want to know about the head office transformation on our partner intranet. So if you go onto the homepage, there are links on the homepage directly to that dedicated hub. So if in fact you are directly impacted, you can find out anything you'd need to know, as well as just if you're not directly impacted, but you want to have a good understanding of just how it's been managed and all the various different support tools we have, then like I say, any of our partners can go and find the information there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nikki and Claire. You've given us all a lot of information there. Just remember, partners, that if you do have any questions, please go speak to your head office leaders and people managers, and also Partner Voice as well. I know they are very much wanting to help partners, especially with wellbeing at the moment. So thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thanks Bethany. Everyone. Thank you. Bye.
And we've got more in store for you all. But in the meantime, stay safe and be kind. It was an absolute pleasure hosting. It's your girl, Monica Lee. And not to worry, we'll be back ASAP.